que él está preparando una invasión a Venezuela, no por el narcotráfico, mentiras. Así hayan ya matado 26, sean pescadores o no, 27 latinoamericanos, que nunca debieron matar con misiles, porque está prohibido por el orden internacional ese tipo de desproporción de la fuerza, como se debe llamar, que es crimen de guerra. Y si matan colombianos también, pues igual, lo digo. Es una excusa para invadir a Venezuela porque se quieren quedar con el petróleo y ese petróleo en 20 años no va a valer nada.
Well, they could. They could still win it. I don't think they will, but they could still win it. I never said they would win it. I said they could win. Anything can happen. You know, war is a very strange thing. A lot of bad things happen. A lot of good things happen. If you look at the Middle East, I would say prior to us hitting Iran so hard, we could have never made that deal because you would have had a dark cloud over the Middle East when we took out their nuclear capability, which was one of the great military maneuvers of all time. It was flawless. You saw that. Yeah.
This is my video update on this Tuesday, midday, October the 21st, coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the CNN report, which claims that Rubio and Lavrov, they spoke on the phone the other day, and they were supposed to set up a meeting between the two, which was going to plan out the Budapest summit, which is slated to take place in 2 weeks. But that meeting has now been postponed because the two foreign ministers, the foreign minister of Russia and the secretary of state of the United States, they do not see eye to eye when it comes to Project Ukraine. There is a divergence in the force. There's a divergence in how to move forward with Project Ukraine. And so they have postponed the face-to-face meeting that they were going to have. And this may risk postponing the Putin-Trump summit, which is supposed to take place in 2 weeks. And if this summit does not take place in 2 weeks in Budapest, then you may be looking at a 3 to 4 week timeline for the Budapest summit, because at the end of the month, you have the APEC summit that is going to take place in South Korea. At the end of October, beginning of November, you have the big summit in South Korea. So they either need to meet this week, Rubio and Lavrov, or early next week, I imagine, or the Budapest summit will not happen before the APEC summit. Is going to have to get delayed until after the APEC summit. So we know what the differences are when it comes to Project Ukraine. The Trump White House is still stuck on freezing the conflict along the current front lines, at least in Zaporozhye and Kherson. And Putin, Lavrov, Russia, they are focused on June 2024 root causes. The article from CNN has the title, Trump's hope for quick second summit with Putin may be stalled as pre-meeting tabled for now. CNN says the anticipated meeting between Rubio and his Russian counterpart, Lavrov, has been put on hold for the time being, a White House official told CNN. It was not immediately clear why this meeting was no longer taking place this week, although one of the sources said Rubio and Lavrov had divergent expectations about a possible end to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. It was also not immediately clear what impact the tabling of the pre-meeting between Lavrov and Rubio would ultimately have on the anticipated Trump-Putin summit in Budapest, Hungary. Well, I think I've answered both of those questions, right? If they can't get something together, the two of them, if they can't meet face-to-face in the next week or so, then they're not going to be able to get the meeting in Budapest before the APEC summit. So it's going to have to happen after the APEC summit. And the divergence is the freeze from the Trump White House and Russia June 2024 root causes. That's the divergence between Rubio and Lavrov. Divergent expectations about a possible end is what CNN says. Bulgaria, they have come out with an announcement saying that they would allow Putin's plane to cross over Bulgarian airspace. So that would mean that if and when we get a Budapest summit, whether it's in 2 weeks before the APEC summit in South Korea, or whether it's in 3 or 4 weeks after the APEC summit in South Korea, and if it does take place in Budapest, then Putin's route could be Turkey to Bulgaria, Serbia, and finally into Hungary. So that is the announcement from Bulgaria. They are saying that Putin's plane shall pass. Your plane shall pass, according to Bulgarian officials. Sikorsky was asked about a route via Poland for Putin's plane to Budapest. Belarus, Russia, Belarus, Poland, and Slovakia, Hungary. That would be probably the quickest route. That would be the quickest route for Putin to get to Hungary. And Sikorsky, he basically said no. That is what the foreign minister, thank you, USA, for blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline, Radoslav Sikorsky. He said that he cannot guarantee that if Putin's plane flies over Polish airspace, that the ICC or other forces would not require Poland to bring that plane down, to land that plane, to force that plane to land in Poland, not to shoot it down, but to bring it down so that it can land in Poland and that the ICC warrant can be enforced against the Russian president. So that is Poland's response to Putin's route, if it were to happen. Belarus, Poland, Slovakia, Hungary. So a no from Poland and maybe a yes from Bulgaria if Russia wants to risk it. I wouldn't take the chance. I wouldn't risk it. Even if Bulgaria is saying, yes, you can pass, I still would not trust Bulgaria, the Bulgarian officials. I would not trust them. But the Financial Times, they ran two articles talking about Europe and the summit in Budapest. One article talked about how European officials are very, very angry, very panicky about the meeting between Trump and Putin in Budapest. The word that the Financial Times uses is unsettled. European leaders are unsettled at the prospects of a Trump-Putin meeting in Budapest. Trump-Putin summit in Budapest unsettles Europe. In the article, they basically interview a whole bunch of European officials to get their reaction on the Trump-Putin summit in Budapest, with Orbán hosting and possibly mediating the summit. And the reaction is very negative from European officials. Very, very negative. The Lithuanian official that the Financial Times interviewed said that the only city that Russian President Vladimir Putin should be visiting, the only European city, he said, that Putin should be going to is The Hague. Right? Very clever from the Lithuanian official. That's the only city in our Europe. He said our Europe. The only city that Putin should be visiting in our Europe is The Hague. So that's the one article from the Financial Times. And the other article talks about how Europe needs to open up channels of communication to the Kremlin, which is an interesting article. It's actually an opinion piece from the Financial Times. The ability to discreetly communicate with the adversary is more important than ever. Europe needs its own channels to the Kremlin. So the article, which is not a long article, bashes Russia. The entire article bashes Russia until you get to the final paragraph, where it then says, you know, maybe we should open up a diplomatic channel to Moscow just in case, right? So the whole article is talking about Russia bad, Putin bad, the summit bad, talking to Russia bad, everything is bad, right? And then it gets to the end of the article where it says, yeah, but maybe we should try to talk to Russia because, you know, you never know. You never know what could happen. So that's the other article from the Financial Times. Sticking with Europe, with the EU, we are getting reports that on Thursday of this week, the European Union, they are going to seal the deal with the Russian assets. They will green light the European Commission to put together the plan, to finalize the plan to seize the 140 billion in Russian frozen assets in Brussels held at Euroclear. Cash. This is cash that Euroclear holds. And the commission will be tasked with putting together the roadmap, finalizing the process to seize, not freeze, the Russian assets and the cash and hand it over to the Green Goblin or the Undertaker or the Dark Knight or the Dark Goblin, whatever his name is when he wears the black suit. But yeah, that is what Politico is saying. EU closes in on deal to use Russian frozen assets to fund Ukraine. Belgium will give the nod for the commission to put forward a legal proposal outlining the 140 billion Ukraine loan. That's right. It is a loan to Ukraine using Russian cash. The EU will be loaning 140 billion to Ukraine, and the commission is making it very clear that the money is available to Russia. This is what the commission is saying. The money is available to Russia, but it will only be available to Russia once Russia pays Ukraine war reparations. So Ukraine is not obligated to pay back this loan, this 140 billion, until Russia pays the war reparations for Ukraine, according to the European Commission. And once that is done, then Ukraine can pay back the loan, and then Russia has access to its cash. So look, it's not really a theft, according to the European Commission, right? The cash is there. That's what the EC is saying. The cash is there. Don't worry China. Don't worry India. Don't worry Saudi Arabia. Don't worry any investors who have their money in the European Union. This could never happen to you. And don't look at this as the European Union stealing Russia's assets. Don't look at it that way. Those assets are there and available to Russia, but what Russia has to do is they have to pay reparations to Ukraine, and then Ukraine pays the loan back, and then Russia has access to the cash. You see, it's really simple. According to the European Commission, nothing illegal going on. But anyway, that is the plan that is going to most likely receive approval on Thursday. So there you go. We've been saying on the Durand for a long time now that once those frozen assets are stolen, are given to Project Ukraine, then we are approaching the end game. Bloomberg is reporting that the European Union wanted the U.S. to support the loan, the 140 billion loan to Ukraine. And they wanted U.S. support for this. And you know what the United States said? No. They said, no, we're not touching this. Keep us far, far away from this scheme, this little plan that you've cooked up, Ursula. We don't want any part of this. According to Bloomberg, U.S. officials said this is way too risky for the U.S. to endorse. Way too risky. So that is the reporting from Bloomberg. The European Union, by the way, they are also putting together a scheme, and those are the words being used. They are putting together a scheme to bypass Hungary's veto so that Ukraine and Moldova can enter the European Union. And they're trying to put some sort of mechanism in place where Hungary's veto will not be taken into consideration, specifically when it comes to Project Ukraine. And that way, Ukraine can be fast-tracked into the European Union. So they're trying to figure that one out as well. And they'll put something together to ignore Hungary's voting rights. Also, during the meeting yesterday at the European Union summit that was taking place in Brussels, the EU also decided to completely cut off Russian gas transit to the Union by 2020. By the end of 2026, I believe, was the timeline that they put in place. If you're a landlocked country, for example, Hungary, then they have some exemptions, which could take you to 2027, 2028, by the time you're required to completely cut off Russian gas transit. But every other country, if it's not landlocked, has to cut off any transit of Russian gas by 2026. So they also decided on that one as well. Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable what the European Union is doing to itself. Anyway, it is what it is. Trump was asked about Ukraine winning the war. And Trump said Ukraine will not win the war. That is what he said. And the reporters then asked Trump, well, Mr. President, just a couple of weeks ago, you posted on Truth Social that Ukraine could win. Remember that post on Truth Social? And Trump's reply to that was, and I quote, "They could still win it. I don't think they will, but they could still win it," when asked to clarify his position on the conflict. "I said they could win. Anything could happen. You know, war is a strange thing. A lot of bad things happen. A lot of good things happen," he said. I don't understand what he means by a lot of good things happen. But anyway, that was his statement when asked to clarify about Ukraine will win the war or could win the war. The difference is could and will, right? Trump is basically saying that he said Ukraine could win the war, not that it will win the war, and there's a big difference there. So it does look like Trump is finally waking up to the reality of the situation in Ukraine. I wonder what Putin told him during that phone call. I wonder what he told Trump. This is an SMO, Mr. President Donald. This is an SMO. Do not push us to upgrade this to a full-out conflict or an anti-terrorism operation or something like that. Because if we are to do that, then Ukraine could be going down very quickly. I imagine that Putin probably told him something like that. But whatever Putin told Trump, Trump seems to have woken up from the propaganda nonsense that that Kellogg and Lindsey Graham were feeding him, that Ukraine has a chance to win this conflict. The last chance is with Trump to take the off-ramp of the Budapest summit. Take the off-ramp, get out of Project Ukraine, accept June 2024, even though Rubio is resisting, tell Rubio to just move forward with planning the summit based on June 2024 root causes. Plan the summit based on that framework. Tell Zelensky to accept June 2024. And if Zelensky doesn't accept it, then you're Audi 5000. That should be the roadmap for the United States, for the Trump administration. I doubt he'll take it. I don't think he'll take this off-ramp, but it's there. One final off-ramp, one final chance. Otherwise, the defeat in Ukraine will be blamed on U.S. President Trump. Anyway, Zelensky, he is going to travel to London, of course. He wants to go to London before the Budapest summit. No big surprise there. And he wants to hang out with Keir Starmer and Defense Secretary Healy and the MI6 and the MI5 and his London puppeteers. They want to meet up and go over the final push to sabotage any rapprochement that could be taking place between the United States and Russia. That's the purpose of Zelensky going to London. London is the main sponsor of Zelensky and Project Ukraine. That is, at least in Europe, London is the main sponsor of Zelensky and Project Ukraine. And the more Trump withdraws or tries to withdraw from Project Ukraine, the more London takes over in their support of Zelensky and Project Ukraine. The Defense Secretary, John Healy, he said that the UK is reviewing its readiness levels to send troops into Ukraine. Boots on the ground, according to Sky News. UK is ready to spend well over 100 million GBP on possible deployment of British troops to Ukraine. Possible deployment of British troops to Ukraine. Never going to happen. Not without US troops by their side. The UK is not going to send troops to Ukraine without the US support and without US boots on the ground. But anyway, that is the statement from Defense Secretary John Healy. Trump met with Albanese, the leader of Australia, yesterday, and they signed a critical minerals deal. They also discussed the AUKUS submarine plan, Australia, the United States, and the UK. The AUKUS submarine plan is the plan that was put together that screwed France, right? France was going to give submarines to Australia, and then the United States and the UK came along and they sabotaged the France submarine deal with Australia, and they put together the AUKUS deal, which sends which plans to send by 2032, I think, is the end date, but the submarines are slated to start heading to Australia by 2027. But I think there are significant delays in all of this. Nuclear subs, what we're talking about, that's what they want to get to Australia. France was plenty pissed off at the fact that they were betrayed by the United States and by the UK in this submarine deal to Australia. But anyway, it is what it is. And Trump discussed AUKUS with Albanese. He said that it is moving full speed ahead, even though there are delays in AUKUS. And most likely by 2032, the nuclear subs will be delivered to Australia. 2032 is the date that is now in place. And they also discussed rare earth minerals. And they signed an agreement for rare earths and for the refining of rare earths to happen in Australia. Once again, a costly, long process to refine and process the rare earths. But they signed the agreement and they are putting together the money, the investment, both the United States and Australia, to refine and process rare earths. Gallium is the rare earth that the United States is looking at. And from my understanding of gallium, It is important in the production of weapons, of radars, and stuff like that for the MIC. And so that's the deal that they signed with Australia yesterday. I talked about how the United States is now going around the world looking for rare earths and looking for deals to offshore the refining, the processing of rare earths outside of China's monopoly. But it's a long process. It's not going to happen overnight or in 3 months or even in 1 year. But it looks like Australia is the first in the U.S.'s is push to not be dependent on Chinese rare earths. So that happened yesterday as well. And I think we can do a clown world today. We can wrap this video up. Pavel Durov, very unhappy with Macron, Pavel Durov, huh? He posted on X about the Louvre jewelry heist. Not at all surprised by the Louvre heist. It's another sad sign of the decline of a once great country where the government has perfected the art of distracting people with phantom threats instead of confronting the real ones. And then someone replied to Durov's post by saying, "I stole it." And then Durov said, "Happy to buy the stolen jewelry and donate it back to the Louvre. I mean the Louvre Abu Dhabi, of course. No one steals from the Louvre Abu Dhabi." Take that, Macron. They used to be buddies, right? Macron and Durov, they used to have dinner together and they used to hang out. But ever since Macron decided to arrest Durov, they've had a falling out, huh? It'll do that. When your buddy decides to arrest you or put you under house arrest, yeah, that kind of ruins a friendship, doesn't it? Anyway, any opportunity that Durov has now to lay into Macron, he takes it. And he is mocking the Macron administration, their incompetence in connection to the jewelry heist, Napoleon's jewelry heist. And a lot of comments from my video update yesterday where I discussed the jewelry heist and I mentioned the 140 carat Regent diamond. And everyone brought up a good point that the diamond is probably not real. That's why the robbers didn't take it, right? And also a lot of people brought up how this must have been an inside job. There must have been some sort of inside help in order to execute this heist in just 7 minutes. So that is the post from Mr. Durov of Telegram fame. And on Hannity, we had Lindsey Graham speaking with Fox News' Sean Hannity. And Hannity talked about how Venezuela could become the 51st state of the USA.
I had a chat with you this weekend. I thought you had a pretty darn good idea. And you said you were going to share it with the president. I want to know if you did. And that is this opposition leader in Venezuela that won the Nobel Prize that said it really deserved to go to Donald Trump. Sounds like a pretty good leader to me for the people of Venezuela and the end of narco-terrorism and a better relationship with the U.S. Or if they choose maybe the 51st state, I don't know.
Sounds good to me.
Once Maria Corina Machado becomes the leader of Venezuela after a regime change, then Hannity brought up the prospects of Venezuela perhaps even becoming the 51st state of the USA. And Lindsey Graham's reply to that was, "Yeah, absolutely, man. Why not? I'm for it," Lindsey Graham said. Nonsense, man. Clown world, man. Venezuela is going to be the 51st state. Canada is going to be the 51st state. Greenland's going to be the 51st state. Panama is going to be the 51st state. Oh, boy. Anyway, that is the video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. We're on X, we're on Rumble, we're on Telegram. Like this video, subscribe to this channel. Once again, I forgot to say that at the beginning of my video update. No surprise there. And I will see everyone tomorrow. Take care.